I've entitled this message, I Will Do Whatever It Takes. I'll do whatever it takes. You ever said that? You ever thought that to yourself? I'm going to do whatever it takes. And I know that that's an amped up, I got my definition of that as an amped up level of determination. It's not just your everyday run-of-the-mill determination. It's an amped up, it's a revved up determination that I'm going to do whatever it takes. And usually it's not spent, so to speak, on I'm going to do whatever it takes to drink this cup of coffee. You know, it's not wasted, so to speak, on that. It's usually a higher level of desire, a higher level of something that we want to see accomplished or that we want accomplished in our life. When defeat is not an option, I will not throw in the towel. I will do whatever it takes. I was cutting firewood not too long ago, and I ended up, and I hand split all the firewood with my Fisker axe. My Fisker axe comes with like this Kevlar handle. That's why I use it the most, because it hasn't broke yet, and I've used it for a couple of years. There must be something in that handle. And I split all the firewood so far with it, and it's getting a little rougher to do that. And I know what muscles splitting firewood with an axe work, because I can't hardly move those later on in the day. But I brought this, I had this one piece of firewood that we had cut, Cheryl and I had cut, and I was splitting it, and this piece of firewood would not split. And I literally beat my guts out on this piece of firewood. And then it gets to the level of, this is not going to defeat me. This is not going to happen. I will do whatever it takes to accomplish this task. Well, just so you know, I got a picture of that piece of firewood. There it is. Split. I loaded that baby on the truck whole. And I went home with that. And that piece of firewood and I had a little discussion. You can submit now, or I will make you submit at some point here, because I've got more tools than you got withstanding ability. And I'll tell you, it didn't submit easy. Another 20 minutes working on that piece of firewood, it submitted. I'm telling you, it heated our house with some BTUs. It did not defeat me. I would do whatever it takes. And that maybe is a crazy illustration, but I will do whatever it takes. And things in my life, I will do whatever it takes. No matter what it does, I'm going to see this accomplished. And Peter, in his letter to the churches, he's making that very statement. And he's saying this, I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent, this body. Because I know that I will soon put it aside or put my body aside, as the Lord Jesus Christ has made it clear to me. I'm not too much longer for this world, is what he's saying. I've lived in this tent long enough. Jesus has told me I'm going to tear down this tent and I'm going to leave this tent and I'm going to be with him. That's where his frame of mind, he knows that. He has that hope. And look what he says after that. He says this. Push the button, please. And I will make every effort and I will do what it takes, he says. And in the Greek, that's strong. That's more than the guts it takes to split firewood. I will do whatever it takes, he said, to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. I'm going to have the truth, and the truth is going to be going forward in our lives, and I'm going to do whatever it takes that you will know, and you will hang on to this truth. I don't have much longer, but what I do have, I'm going to give it all so that you can know this truth and so that you can hang on to this truth. Verse 16 says, we did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power of and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses to his majesty. We didn't make this story up. I'm not talking about some made-up story or some nursery rhyme. I'm talking about the message from God. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." That's at Jesus' baptism. Peter says, "I know that it's real. This is not a made-up story. And I will do whatever it takes to get you to grab onto the truth and to hold on to the truth for this truth to move forward into the world. I'll do whatever it takes. I will make every effort so that this truth will be held onto and advance in this world." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. Now he's talking about the Mount of Transfiguration. I walked with Jesus, he said. I got a relationship with Jesus. I know what Jesus has done in my life. I know how he showed up in my life. I know what he's taught me. I know where he has taken me. And I will do whatever it takes for this message to go forth into your lives and into the lives of people around you. And we have the word of the prophets. The prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to the light shining in dark places until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. And you've got the word of the prophets. I'm not just talking about the Mount of Transfiguration. I'm not just talking about the baptism of Jesus. I'm talking about what the prophets have said. And I think he's got a scroll in his hand. And he's saying, this is the word of God. And not only what I've experienced in my life, but I'm going to make sure the word of God goes forward in this world. I'm going to do whatever it takes. I don't have much longer on this earth. But what I do have, I'm going to make sure that this word of God gets moved forward into your life, forward into the lives of people around us. Above all, you must understand, no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but it was men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. You know what you've got here, he said. Do you know what this is? This is not a Charles Dickens novel, which might be cool. This is not a movie script. This is not a poem. This is not a nursery rhyme. This is the Word of God, he said. And I will do whatever it takes, he said, to make sure that you know that. And to make sure that it goes forward into your life. And if you hang on to it, I will do whatever it takes, he said. I will make every effort so that you know about Jesus. So you know about God's word. So you know about what God wants for your life. I will do whatever it takes. It's not a Mother Goose or William Shakespeare or Dr. Seuss. It's not a classic novel or a movie script or a stimulating poem or historical document. It's the message from God. I got a call one time from a teenager that I had worked with. And he was in Egypt, stationed in Egypt. And he called me, and it was, of course, the time difference is considerable between there and here. And so it's like a late night call. And I get this call, and it's this young soldier now, he said, "I got a question for you. You remember when we talked about this? You remember when we talked about the Bible and how valid it was and how trustworthy it was and the statistics that you were sharing with us and so forth and so on?" He said, "I'm in the middle of a discussion right now with a bunch of people that are saying the Bible is nothing but a bunch of words written by a bunch of men." He said, "We've been arguing now for over an hour." He said, "And what do I tell them?" And I said, "First and foremost, why are you arguing about the Bible? Why aren't you arguing about some other historical document? Why is the Bible the topic of discussion? Why isn't some other religious writings at the top of your discussion? Why did they choose the Bible to try to poke holes in? Why did they choose the Bible to try to discount in your life? Why did they choose the Bible? Why is it the Bible? Why are they choosing the Bible to do that? He said, good point. He said, I'll talk to you later, and he hung up. Because it's the Word of God. And Peter knew it was the Word of God, and he knew what he experienced with Jesus on this earth, and he knew that this was the Word of God, and he said, I'll do whatever it takes to get it to go forward in your life. I will do whatever it takes. How about us? How do you feel? How about us? How about us? It's our turn. Peter's not here anymore. How about us? How about us? Will we do whatever it takes to get this truth into the lives of people? Will we do whatever it takes for this truth to get into the next generation? Will we do whatever it takes to get this Word of God to the generations that are around us, before us maybe, or after us? Will we do whatever it takes to get this Word of God into the uttermost parts of the world? Will we do whatever it takes to get into Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth? Will we do whatever it takes to get this Word of God into the hands of the people who so desperately need the Word of God? And I know that we know some of these verses, and I've asked and often asked, and some of the verses I'm going to be reading right now you know very well. And I've also often asked, I'm not asking if you know these verses, I'm asking if you have these verses in your heart. Now I'm going to amp that up a little bit, and I'm going to say, I know you know these verses, but will you do whatever it takes to get that truth in that verse into this world that so desperately needs that truth? Will we do it? It's our turn. It's our turn in history. God chose us to be born in this time of history. It's our turn to move forward. We're the church, New Life. We're the church, and God has handed us His Word. He said, on your watch, will you do whatever it takes to get that truth into a world that so desperately needs it? We're not talking about a nursery rhyme. We're talking about my love and my word and my will for people. Will you do whatever it takes? I've left it in your care. John 3:16 says simply this. No, simply about John 3:16. I stand corrected. Powerfully it says this. For God so loved the world. Do we believe it or don't we believe it? That He gave His one and only Son, that whoever would believe in Him shall not perish but have eternal life, or this relationship with God. Because God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world or to judge the world right now. He sent His Son into the world that the world might be saved. What are we doing? What are we doing, church, as a local body, and as a conglomerate called the church? What are we doing to get that message into a world that so desperately needs Jesus? That's our turn. It's our turn to carry that message. It's our turn to bring that forward into the world. John 14:6 says this. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Do you believe it? Then what are we doing to get that truth into the world? Isaiah says this, 9:6, it says, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon His shoulders, and Jesus will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. It's our turn to carry that message into this world. What an honor. And what a responsibility. And Peter knew it so much in his life, and he said, why, I've got time in this tent. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get that message into your hands and into the worlds around us. And we know, according to history, that Peter did die shortly after this, according to the historical documents, crucified upside down on a cross. They put him on a cross, and then they turned the whole thing upside down. And that's the way Peter died. But I'm telling you what, when he went into glory with Jesus, he was right side up. And he knew it didn't matter how he was going to leave this earth. It mattered what he was leaving on this earth, and that was the truth. And he was going to do everything that he could. Because why? Acts 4:12 says this, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to us by which men must be saved, the name of Jesus. What are we doing, New Life? What are we doing, church? What are we doing? Are we carrying that message? Will we do whatever it takes to get that message into this world? We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God was making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. You're going to carry this into a lost world, and you're going to carry the Word of God through the power of the Spirit, and you're going to leave it to the generations after you, and you're going to go to the other utmost parts of the world. What are we doing, church? Are we doing whatever it takes? Matthew 28:18 following says this, when Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples of all ethnos, of all nations, of all ethnic groups. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. Do we believe that God loves people? Push the button. Do we believe that God loves people? Do we believe that God sent his only Son? Be careful how you answer this, because you're responsible for moving this forward in this world. Do we believe that whoever believes in Jesus will not perish but have eternal life? Do we believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? Do we believe that no one comes to the Father except through Jesus? Do we believe that Jesus is the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace? Do we believe that in the name of Jesus is the only way for salvation to be experienced in someone's life? Do we believe that we are Christ ambassadors, empowered to carry his message into this world? Do we believe that we will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us? Do we believe that we will be his witnesses throughout this world? Do we believe that we are to make disciples? Do we believe it, or don't we? And if the answer is yes, what are we doing? If the answer is yes, then we will do whatever it takes. Will we do whatever it takes to move this message forward in this world? I've been told, and I think it's true, that the two biggest indicators of the get up and go, or I'll do whatever it takes spirit in us, or can be seen in our giving and in our going. So let me throw some statistics at you, because I don't know if we are taking this message into this world. The average household income in our area is $56,951. You may be above or below that. You can join most of us maybe that are below that. Welcome to the crowd. But I have to work with a number. According to the census, the average household income in this community is $56,000, $27 an hour. Two people working at $13 an hour. The average Christian gives 2% of their income to Christian causes. 56,921 dollars. The giving is $1,139.02 a year. That's just a little about $21.90 a week. Just so you know, with tip, that's a large pizza at Pizza Hut. So the average Christian gives one large pizza with tip. This is not a tithing message. This is a fair look in the mirror saying, what are we doing? A fair look in the mirror saying, how sold out am I for this? How much do I believe that this is the Word of God? How much do I believe in that God loves the world and Jesus is the only way and the Spirit will empower me? How much do I believe that I am responsible to make disciples? How much do I believe that I am to be a witness when the power comes upon me? It's not a tithing message. It's a full evaluation of the Christians, me included, in this world. Of that $21.91, 7% of that is utilized to reach the ends of the world. 7% of the 21, not 7% of your income, 7% of the $21.90. That is $1.53 a week. The average Christian gives $1.53 a week to reach the ends of the earth. I stood before the mirror this week and I confessed that I spent more on cheese last week than I did reaching the lost world for gospel. Of that $1.53, 2% goes to reach the people that have no Jesus witness. And just so we know, there's 3.19 billion people in this world that have no Jesus witness. So 2% of that $1.53 goes to reach those who have no Jesus witness, and that's just about 3 cents a week. We give 3 cents a week to reach those, the 3.919 billion people that have no idea who Jesus is in this world. Just so you know, I think the church is going to answer for that. How about going? How about going? How about our giving? I don't want to go on with our giving because I think I'm just raining on our parade. And just so you know, if you make half of that, if you make $30,000, you can just cut everything in half. You're donating 1.5 cents a week to reach those who have no Jesus witness at all. Zero Jesus witness. They can't find anyone to tell them about Jesus. Eight percent of all Christians believe that sharing their faith is very important. You've got to be kidding me. It's not my statistics. It's statistics that have been done on the church. 8% of us would check, it's very important for me to share my faith or share the gospel. 8%, 92% of us don't believe that. I don't think our going is too good either. I think our 3 cents is maybe the shining light. I'm really sweating in this message. I forgot my sweat towel this week, too. 50% of practicing Christians believe that non-Christians have no interest in hearing about Jesus. That lets us off the hook. Now, my statistics have been done on the church. You can argue with them. That's fine. Don't argue with me. I'm a parrot on these things, okay? I'm just repeating what I heard. Almost 70% of Christians believe that everyone ends up in heaven. 93% of practicing Christians are not comfortable with having a conversation about Jesus with their own grandchildren. I think we got a going problem. How about going to the world and going to the ends of the earth? The world's population is 7.67 billion people. There are 400,000 workers across the world. That's one worker for every 19,175 people. One worker for every 19, almost 20,000 people in our world. One worker, just so you know, there's 400,000 workers. And that's workers, that's ministry, so to speak, professionals that are going out to train those. Ephesians says it this way. Flip it to Ephesians. It was he who gave some to be apostles and some to be prophets and some to be evangelists and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. That's the workers I'm talking about. There's 400,000 of those individuals called by God in this world that are doing that job. Just so you know, there's over 10 million doctors. And there's a shortage on doctors. Can you imagine there's a shortage on workers? I have witnessed myself, parents, knowing that their children are called and standing in the way of their children so they will not go to the mission field. I have witnessed parents saying, if you're going to go to college for ministry, you better back that up with something else because you're never going to make a dollar in ministry. No, I can guarantee you that right now. But I'm telling you what, you're going to move this forward in this world. Are they the only ones? Are the workers the only ones? No, they're not the only ones. The church is that. But the workers are there to build up the body, to equip those that are going into our world. 400,000 people trying to address 19,000 people apiece. 4.16% of the world's 7.67 billion people have no known gospel of Jesus witness. That is 3.19 billion people that have no one to tell them about Jesus. The 400,000 workers that are out there, 3% of those are slated to go to the 3.1 billion people without Jesus. That's 12,000 workers to address 3.19 billion people. You can do the math. We got a giving problem. We got a going problem. If we can't go to our own grandchildren, we're certainly, I don't think we're going to go to the ends of the earth. And if only 8% of the church as a whole believe that sharing our faith is important, church, we got a problem. Just so you know, that 12,000 workers are to reach those 3.19 billion people on 3 cents a week. Good luck with that. Well, they just got to be men and women of faith. Yeah, how about you? Why do they only have to be the men and women of faith? The church has roughly 3,000 times the financial resources and 9,000 times the manpower needed to finish the Great Commission. Right now. The church as a whole has 3,000 times more finances than it needs to finish the Great Commission, to reach every ethnos, to reach everyone with the gospel of Jesus Christ. If every Christian gave 10% of their income to missions, they would easily support 2 million new workers this year.